in the baptism meeting. Let us sing 97, I have decided to follow Jesus. Let God remind us what baptism is about. Let's sing 97. No turning back, no turning back. There must be a different life before us after we're baptized. What would that life be? Do you have expectation? Or should I say, God expects something from us? Our life would be changing after baptism. Are we proceeding to an abundant life? Jesus promised us in John 10:10. He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So not just have received an eternal life, but this eternal life can grow into an abundant life. But think about now. Are we having an abundant life? Are we missing something there that stopped us to grow? So today my burden is, how can we continue to grow? After baptism, have we stopped? Or are we continuing to grow in Christ, that His life can be showing forth in our life, an abundant life, to show the richness of God's life in our life. But before we do that, let us come bow before the Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, we commit this time to you. Everyone here wants to hear from you. We want to hear you speaking to us in our heart. Teach us, Lord. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So, let us think about what is this life about. After baptism, we are heading on, we are expecting, God is expecting us to grow, to go forward. It's not the end, it is not finished, it is the beginning of a new life. What is this life about? Let us look at Matthew 28.
And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples."
It's not just believers. Believers speaks of you believe in something. But make disciples. Disciples related to the word discipline. That means God is going to train us. We are going to be changed. Our life changed to be a disciple. So God wants disciples. Not something in our mind, but our whole life change.
Students of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
So baptizing speaks of the beginning that we are starting our journey as a disciple.
And after that, he's going to teach us, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.
So there's a learning process after that. So there's not only receiving a new life, we have a new master, a new teacher, a Lord. He's going to teach us a new way, give us a new direction. So he's expecting us to have a new behavior, new life. So out of that new life, we may want to pray more. We may study Bible. We will want to know him more. We will have a closer relationship with brothers and sisters. That we expect our lives to be changing like that. But when there's no growth, why? What are the obstacles? Are we missing something there? Something we have not learned. Something we missed. And that stopped us to grow into abundant life. So think about your life. Is your life, do you enjoy more and more reading God's words? Do you really enjoy knowing Him? Is there a stronger and stronger desire? Think about your life now. Do you want to pray with brothers and sisters as well? Do you join the prayer meeting? Do you enjoy having fellowship with brothers and sisters? Is your life making progress? Can people see Christ in our life? If not, then we are missing something. So let us think about what is this life about. But before we move on, let us go back before baptism. What happened when someone come to know Christ? Let us look at next. It's the new birth, okay? Even before the baptism. In this new birth, let us look at first John chapter 1. What happened? So before baptism, we move on. Let us look back. Even before baptism, this happened. This is the foundation. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So in here it says, receive him. It's not because your parents are Christian that makes you a Christian. That receive him is not just knowing something about him. Not just knowing Jesus is real. Not just he is just a visitor. Pass by, a passerby, just like a neighbor walking past your front door. Receive him as if you open your door. Invite him to come into your life. 24/7, he dwells with you. So receive him, that means you open your heart, open your life. Let Jesus come into your life. This is a very personal thing. Have you done that? Have you invited Jesus to come into your life, to be with you? He will be with you every time. Have you invited him to come to live with you in your life? If you really believed in him. So when you receive him, then you have this new life. We become the children of God. And once we received him to come into our life, then our lives started to change.
Let us look at Galatians 4, 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Now, I want us to pay attention to, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Once we receive Jesus into our hearts, then what happens here? Crying, Abba, Father. So instantly, this life come into your life, you will start to communicate with Him. Crying out, Abba, Father. Suddenly, you're not just aware that He is there, aware of His presence. You start to communicate with Him. You start to feel the urge to draw near to Him. Feel the need of Him. You want to go to Him, the Father. You are not afraid of Him. People may be aware of Him, but afraid of Him. Satan afraid of God. But this is different because He is our Father. So draw near to Him. So accepting Christ is accepting Him, Him into our life. And now we can draw near to God. This is the new birth. After this new birth, we want to follow Him. Then we start the discipleship. We go to baptize. That speaks of we want to follow Him. But again, let us talk about discipleship. Discipleship talks about we are learning something. We are a student. We need training. So what is the secret to grow in Christ? Let us look at a few. There's a very important point in it. That is, we have to make choices. Okay? So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now notice the red and the green. There's a purpose there. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. So discipleship is about making choices as well. Training is do this and don't do that. Making choices is put away something to get rid of. The red color speaks of get rid of something. Put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. These are things to get rid of. Like newborn infants, long for. Now we have to get in something. Long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. That may help us to grow. So the secret of growth is get rid of something, get in something. Put away all this, long for the pure spiritual milk. Let's look at another verse in Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So there are not. So in our life, there are choices. You can see this is a whole new life. In the past, we liked the counsel of the wicked. We walk in the way of the sinners. But being disciple is you change your behavior. Walk not, nor stand, nor sit. Have nothing associate with the past, the sinful life. And turn, look, his delights. There's a new thing in his life. Not just getting rid of something, but longing for something. Getting into something. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law, he meditates day and night. So there's something treasure in your life. So ask yourself, if you are not growing, how about here? How about your walk? How about your stand? How about your sit daily? What is your delight? Are you doing it the other way around? He's like a tree in here. If we meditate, if we like the law of the Lord, the word of God, if we like to draw near to God, then this person will be like a tree planted planted by streams of water that yields its fruit. Notice this is a fruitful life. This is the life of abundant life. That he is planted. He's always there. Getting his root there. By streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. So not immediately in one day, not doing it once. But constantly, consistently, then you will yield fruit in its season. So this points out to us, discipleship, bearing fruit, is a kind of life. Rejecting the bad, accepting the good. Fleeing away from the bad, pursuing the good. This is a life of choice. Let's continue to make it more convincing to us by God's words. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. So if you say, oh, I accepted Christ, and do the same thing as before, and it's, the former life is corrupt through deceitful desires. If you are still following the desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self. So are we following the old ways, the deceitful desires, or are we being transformed or renewed in the spirit of your mind, in our mind by God's words? We are renewed, changed, and then put on the new self. This new self, how does it look like? Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So put off and put on. Discipleship, in simple words, put off the bad. Put off the old and put on the new. Similar words we can find in Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. But now you must put them all away. So it's not such a big secret. Christian growth is plainly put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Put it all. Don't tell me you don't know how to grow. Because it's so clear in God's word. God told us how to grow. God told us how to be his disciple. Put off. Don't do it. Stop that. Very plain, very clear. Do not lie to one another, saying that you have put off the old self with its practices. Have you put off the old self and its practices? If not, then you are not being a disciple. And don't say you don't know how to bear fruits. And no wonder we can't bear fruits if we have not put off the old self. Not just Christian life is not just one side, put off, like the monk hiding in somewhere to live a life, getting rid of the sin. But put on. We have something to put on. All the religion is trying to put off the bad. But we are different because we have something to put on. To put on the new self. This is salvation. Put off the bad because we have something to put on. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. So put on something which is glorious, the life of Christ, the image of its creator. Let's continue. So in Romans, so then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Don't say to me, I can't help it. I have to do the bad things. We are not debtors. We are debtors not to the flesh. Before we receive Christ, we can't help it. But after we receive Christ, this new Lord in us can set us free. To live according to the flesh. So believe in God's words is not my words. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We no longer are bound to live, to follow, to live a life according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, what would be the consequence? You will die. If you follow the flesh, be sure there's only one consequence. Lead us to death. But if by the Spirit, so live according to the Spirit, you put to the death of the deeds of the body, you will live. This is life. This is the life ahead of us. For those who are baptized, we should follow to live by the Spirit. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Led by the Spirit. Spirit is going to lead us. So He is leading, but the thing is, are we following? Are we making the choice? Are we responding? Do we want to be led? Are we willing to follow the Spirit, to live a life like Jesus? Or, no, I want to live according to my flesh. We can make a choice. Let's look at 2 Timothy. So again, flee from something, pursue something. Put off something, put on something. It's very simple. Everywhere you find the same thing. We have to make a decision. If you make bad choices, bad consequences, bad outcome. Good choice, good consequences, fruits will come. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, Jesus' blood cleanses us from our sin. But all this evil thing come into your mind, all this temptation, all these thoughts. We are living in such a world with all this evil contamination around us will come to our mind. If we cleanse himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use. Have we rejected all this dishonorable thing? If we rejected them, we become a vessel for honorable use. Set apart as holy. So brothers and sisters, this is the expectation we can have. To be a vessel for God. Set apart as holy for God. For something that is not set apart, everything, every sin can come into your life. We are just like a rubbish bin. Everyone walk by can drop something evil, dirty, filthy into that bin. This is a rubbish bin. Accept everything. No selection. Accept all. But if we want to be a vessel set apart just for God to use, this is holy. In more difficult words like, we are consecrated. We are sanctified. Just for God's use. For His Majesty to use only. So flee useful passions and pursue righteousness. So again, put off, put on, flee. Something to flee away from. So in your mind, every day temptations will come. Through what we can see, what we see on the screen, temptations come. But when we see that we can make a choice, we can flee. So God told us, flee useful passions. This temptation will stir up our passions, youthful passions, desire, gratification to satisfy our desires. All this will stimulate us if we are not fleeing from it. But our life is not about fleeing. It will be very painful. But in our hearts, we are pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord. So we need brothers and sisters, you see? We need to encourage one another. You can't do it all by yourself. Sometimes we fail. Brothers and sisters will help us to get up again, encourage us. So pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So we need to encourage one another. So, discipleship is very clear. Every day, even in this lockdown period, every day you see, you can follow your flesh, you can follow the Satan's temptation. So we need to ask God, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. But flee, God's word to us, flee, go away from it. If we live a life just like, not a vessel, but like a rubbish bin, Satan can drop in all these evil things, filthy things in our mind, through our eyes, go to our mind and into our hearts to contaminate us. May God help us, deliver us. So if we live a life with no discipline, we follow the flesh, follow the urge, the lust of the body, follow our mood, oh, I don't want to read the Bible. Following, oh, it's not comfortable, I don't want to do this. Then, if you make such choice, you are getting closer to temptation, to sin, to addiction, and to bondage. And we can't bear fruits for God. So note, be aware of the choices we make each day. Are we setting apart from God? Consecrated ourselves, set apart wholly for God? It's good that when we, in my kitchen, there's a bowl just for sugar. When I take the cover off, make sure it's only sugar inside, nothing else, sugar. When I want sugar, I go for that. When I want salt, go for that. So sugar for sugar bowl. So in our life, what comes into your life? Is your life a rubbish bin, except everything? Are we in bondage to computer games, to online games? Are we in bondage? Do you want to be set free? So no discipline, our life would be in bondage. So you may say, oh, so Paul, are you talking about we should have self-discipline? Sure, but it's more than that. Oh, we need self-control. Yeah, well, even non-believers, some people have strong determination. Some athletes, oh, I have to take control of my diet, my living, training every day. But they are doing it for their own purpose. I want to get an Olympic gold medal. That's why I train myself. I'll be harsh on myself. No, I'm not talking about this. So bearing fruit is not about how determined you are. It's not a DIY project. Do it yourself. According to us, we always fail. You may say, Brother Paul, I failed many times. You don't know. I try. I failed. Even I cry before God. But again and again, this is like a cycle. I keep doing the same thing. I struggle. But I'm not good at self-discipline. I can't discipline myself. I'm thinking of an example. I walk down the road to visit my friend. Along the way, there's a dog there, a very fierce dog. And he attacked me. I got hurt. I called a paramedic. Some policemen come and help me, take me to the hospital. I'm healed. And then, the next day, I want to go to see my friend again. And you know what? I go the same way. And again, you know what happened? On the way, I may say, oh Lord, please, not the same dog. May the dog, cause the dog to sleep. Change the dog. Change it to a friendly puppy. Or like Daniel in Lion's Den, cause them to can't open the mouth. So I pray hard,
But still, if I follow that way, I got bitten by that same dog. Even the dog may be surprised to see me again. What a stupid fool. Always come to this way. So he bite me again. So, not the same way, my friend. If I pray to God, oh Lord, take away the dog. The Lord may say to me, chance, you fool, change your way. Don't walk the same way down the road. You meet the dog. The dog is always there. It will bite you. If you follow these steps to sin, it will cost you your life. Turn. Turn from that. Repent. This is repentance mean. So it's no longer, oh Lord, I tried, I failed. I tried, I failed. You are not helping me. The same dog bite me again and again and again and again. Change and repent. Repent is your mind change. Oh Lord, I know, not this way again. If I follow this step one, step two, and then step three, and I will meet that dog again. So the Lord say, don't take step one. Go the other way. So in the end, I need to change. So I'm not talking about no discipline is bad. Self-discipline always doesn't work. We need more than that. What is that we need? We need spirit discipline. A living God with us. I'm not talking about a method. I'm talking about a teacher. A living, an instructor next to you. I'm not giving you a handbook how to drive. An instructor is sitting next to you. He's telling you slow down, then you listen. So, this is not a self-learned technique how to bear fruit. It is God-trained process. Listen to Him. Consecration means you give up my control. Give up my way. Give up my methods. Give up my struggle. So discipleship, if you want to make another step to go forward, it only works if you, let's look at the next step. Discipleship only works if you are willing to listen, to follow, to consecrate yourself. The verse is, thinking about this, of course, is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, your whole body surrender, your whole body listen to the instructor, the teacher, Holy Spirit. You are saying to Him, I follow you. Your whole body. When He says slow down, slow. When He says turn, turn. When He says stop, stop watching that. Stop doing that. You listen. Your whole body follow as a living sacrifice. Whole body give to Him. Holy and acceptable to God. My body is not for sin. My body is not for addiction to something. My body is to serve God. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Lord, you are worthy. Worship. I give myself to you. I'm not giving myself to computer games. I give myself to you. This is worship. This is consecration. And because if we are willing to listen, make choices to follow Him, next step. Next step. Then transformation begins. Do not be conformed to this world. If we are not following the Lord, what are we following? We are conforming to this world. This world is molding us, changing us to be like the people in this world, to follow Satan. Only by saying no, only by put off my old self or following the flesh, and put on the new man and follow Christ, then the transformation begins. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So it all begins in here. And that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So by doing this, we are going to be transformed. This renewal. Before that, if we live according to our desires, I want to eat this, I want to do that, my body doesn't feel like doing that. This gratification, satisfying only our desire, this is a selfish life. If we follow that, someone offended us, then we get anger. And because of this anger built up, we got hate. Because this hate fills our mind, we speak evil of people. And then one, we can't hold on any longer, we try to hurt others, and we might end up in fight. Now you see, this going downward all the way, step by step, starts from living a selfish life, gratification of our desires, and then we all drop, step by step, we end up in bondage to sin. So this is a path. Which path are we choosing? Following ourselves or following the Holy Spirit? It all starts with step one. So are we letting the Spirit to guide us each day? One day we'll regret. But the most important thing is go back to step one. He will guide us. He will lead us out from all bondage. So if you are in bondage to some addiction, the only way out is consecrate yourself. Offer yourself to God. Ask Him to deliver you. You are willing to follow Him. You don't want to be in sin anymore. He can deliver you. He can save us if we are willing to follow Him. By doing this, we are experiencing what Galatians 2:20 says. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. You are no longer following yourself. You are not the king in your life. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is the life. This is real life. This is the eternal life. This is the abundant life. This is the discipleship we are talking about. And the life I now live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is the reality of the cross. I have been crucified with Christ. No, it's not I that live. No longer I that live, but Christ in me. So, if we have this transformation, of course we are approaching to the last part, abundant life. God will deliver us one by one. We have different bondages, different temptation, different kind of sin bothering us, troubling us every day. But God will set one chain free, another chain free. If we are willing, He set us totally free from all bondages. This abundant life, you may say, how? You may expect me to give you a method. Methods are dead. If there's only a method, there's only one method. The method is a living, not a dead, but a living teacher in us. In John 15, verse 4 to 5, abide in me. It's relationship. It's our relationship with Christ. It's not our method. In me. Not do this, but abide in me. Not a dead method, but a living Christ walking with you, living with you. You have received Him. He's in you. Follow Him. Abide in Him. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. So fruitful life comes from a relationship, not by a method. But how are we making choices every day, even in these lockdown periods, at your home, today, tomorrow, every day? Abide in him. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If there's no such relationship, if this relationship is not functioning, you can do nothing. We can do nothing. We can't produce fruit. We are living a fruitless life. Brothers and sisters, this is serious. Let's look at Psalm 92. Even till old age, they are planted in the house of the Lord. This talk about they flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. In difficult situation, all kinds of affliction comes into all this chaotic environment, all kinds of difficulty. Because we are like Psalm 1, the tree planted by the river, the waters. Because we are planted in the house of the Lord. Are you planted in the house of the Lord? Doing it by yourself is difficult, but we have encouragements of brothers and sisters. If your life is planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of our God, and still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green, always new fruits coming up from the life. This is wonderful. So, let's come to the conclusion I want to make. So, discipleship, bearing fruit, is very simple. It's a matter of choice. Following your own way or following God's way. Following our flesh or following the Holy Spirit. Very simple. Bear fruit, follow the Spirit. You want to follow your flesh? Yes, but know the consequences. Know the outcomes. In Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 23. Now the works of the flesh. If we follow the flesh, it doesn't have life there. If you follow the flesh, the works are evident. It will lead us into sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Are we having this in our life? Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this, etc., etc. Are you struggling in any of this? Now you know why. Because we are following the flesh. I warned you. May God warn us. I warned you. As I warned you before, and again, and again, God has to tell us again. So you may say, I know this, but I warned you that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. So the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And why is it so difficult when we try to preach the gospel, to persuade our friends to come to know Christ? If we live a life full of strife, jealousy, why would people drawn to know Christ? But if in our life people can see joy, people can see peace, they are drawn to know Christ. Preaching the gospel is not so much about how smart you are, how you can answer all the questions. It's about our life. Can people see the love, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness in your life? If they can see this in our life, they are drawn to us. So may God help us. Our Lord is seeking fruit. In Luke chapter 13, verse 6, Jesus told a parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit. Today, Jesus is seeking fruit. For those who are baptized, God is seeking fruit. Can he find any? I hope it's not like here. And found none. Think about this, brothers and sisters. Do you want to live your life bearing fruit? Are we going towards that abundant life? Which way are we choosing every day? It's open before us. May the Lord help us to consecrate our life, our mind, our hearts, our hand, to do His will and bear fruit. Take my life, O Lord. Let us sing 206. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. 206. Take my life and let it be consecrated unto Thee.
Consecrate.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your promise that we can live a life, abundant life in you. We pray that we will consecrate ourselves as disciples should, that we commit ourselves in every aspect, our mind, our heart, our hand, our time, our love to you. May you guide us step by step to follow you day by day, to live a life that bear fruits to glorify your name. Lord, change our life. We may fail, but thank you, Lord, you never give up on us. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, day by day, guide us to live a life to please you. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning, and we like you to join us in virtual morning tea. May God bless you.